Our scripture reading is taken from Joshua 9, verse 24. And they answered Joshua and said, "How that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were sore afraid of our lives because of you and have done this thing."
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Again, good to see everyone here today. Our visitors, friends, children of God, let us have a word of prayer. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, yes, we thank thee for your presence here. We thank thee that we are yours, Father. We know that we have to make decisions and choices every day of our lives. And we pray that our choice first thing in the morning is to follow our Lord Jesus Christ, to be yours for eternity, with the surety that one day soon we will be with our Lord, that we will study and plan and learn more and more. Right now here upon this earth, we have your word to study and to learn how to live among others and to make the choices that we do, to make right choices. And I pray, Father, that we do make those right choices every day of our lives so that we may be yours for eternity. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, the decisions that we've had to make. I spoke this morning at Sabbath School about the article in Tuesday's paper about the faith in flux. Spiritual but not religious. The unchurched. Switching religions, the choices that the people have made to do these things for whatever reason. They were hurt. They heard a different message than what they believed or what. But they've made those choices to go from one religion to another, one denomination to another. But we're going to look at the choices that Joshua and the leaders made. We know that Joshua took over from Moses. And he took the men that took Israel into the promised land. They conquered Jericho. They were to conquer Ai, but did it wrong the first time. But they were successful the second time. And then Joshua chapter 8, verse 30 there tells us of that Joshua gathered the people together to worship on Mount Ebal. While they were gathered there, their enemies also gathered together, but to plan an attack on them. You can read that in chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, as we see that, where they all came together to go up against Joshua with Israel with one accord. But while Israel was worshiping God and reviewing God's law for Moses, or Joshua did give the message from Moses, the whole law. Gave through it, went the whole through the whole thing. We know that the kings of Canaan relied to form an alliance to go up against Israel, to challenge Israel's invasion. For we know that Israel was told to go in and take the land, to destroy it, to chase all the people out, even to put them to death. And we know what happened as we read the word of God. And though all these kings gathered to form this alliance, the Gibeonites, another group of people, decided to pursue a different way, a different course of action. And many times we today, for some reason or another, something happens and we do go for another course of action in our walk with God or without God. Because the inhabitants of Gibeon had heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai. Read that in verse 3. And they did destroy it. The Gibeonites had heard the same reports as Rabbi, but they decided differently, to go in a different direction. They probably have heard of Israel's strength and may have realized that the power that they had to overcome these two cities came from God. Rahab also heard about the God of Israel, But she took a different course of action, as we well know, and saved her whole family. She was open to learn more of Jesus Christ and accept him. But the knowledge that the Gibeonites had made them afraid. And many of the other enemies of Israel were afraid over time. They wanted to do everything they could to save their lives. So they come up with a different plan. Instead of repenting, the Gibeonites decided to deceive the Israelites. We'll look at verses 4 through 6 there in chapter 9, 4 through 6. And they did work wily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet and old garments upon them. And all the bread of their provisions was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, "We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us." And here deceiving Joshua and the Israelites. They wanted to deceive Joshua of their origin, where they came from. We don't really know if they knew about God telling Israel to go in and to destroy all the people that were in there in the land of Canaan. But they maybe believed that Joshua would make an alliance with somebody from a far country that they may not have ever heard of. So they decided to do that. And many people today are still going after the Gibeonites' philosophy. Expediency rules. And we do that many times today. To do whatever they have to do to get through the difficulties. In most ways that we have to do that. We have difficulties to come. We have to plan a course of action to go through these difficulties. But we always pray that we will make the right decision. That we will follow the pathway that will lead us to be better for these difficulties that we have. Especially if they're difficulties in being Christians and being followers of our God. If the Gibeonites, like many others, had turned to God in repentance, as Rahab done, we know it would have been a different outcome. God probably would have saved them. But we know that we can't make decisions on spiritual evidence, as we see there in verses 7 through 15. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, "Peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you?" And they said unto Joshua, "We are thy servants." And Joshua said unto them, "Who are ye, and from whence come ye?" And I won't go on to read that. You can read that yourself the rest of the way into there. These verses tell us that the Gibeonites tricked Joshua and the people. You can see there in verse 8 as I read it, about Joshua's question to know that it was not answered. "Who are you and where do you come from?" Instead they say, "We are from a far country." Implying that we are from so far away that you probably never even heard of us. They were deceptive about their origin, being just a short ways away and in the land of Canaan. They also lied about their intentions that they had. They were just trying to save their lives. They told Joshua that they wanted a covenant because they had heard about the wonders of the Lord God. And we can read that in verse 9. Verse 9, as I said, "And they said unto him, for a very far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt." See that? They gave the impression that they longed to worship God, to honor God, but they did not offer to repent. The same with us today. Along with our offering to honor God, we need to repent of our sins. They offered only to serve. Then they represented their proof that they gave to them. They had already read the moldy bread the patched wineskins, and the ragged clothes. But it seems incredible that the Israel's leaders would accept this evidence. It was so flimsy. But we know that they did. They didn't seem to really question it too much. What about it? Even when they didn't answer the question that Joshua gave to them. We know that envoys with the power to conclude a treaty with other nations should have substantial credentials, and they did not have any. But we can see there in verse 14 that it tells us that then the men of Israel took some of their provisions or victuals, but they did not counsel the Lord. You can also look at verse 15. And Joshua made peace with them, and made a league with them to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swore unto them. So Joshua made a covenant with the Gibeonites without bringing the matter before God. And we know that the high priest had to, on his chest, the chest plate there with the Thummim and the other on there, and to give a yes or no answer. And Joshua did not take that to the priest. The promise in the treaty that they gave was a promise not only to save their lives, but to protect them if they were ever attacked. Perhaps the reason that Joshua neglected to consult God was that the evidence was good enough for him, so strong that it was not necessary to ask God. Or perhaps he did not ask God because his own decision looked good. So he chose that decision. We're not sure about that. We also know that deceptions will also be discovered. Verses 16 through 20 tells us that of Joshua and the leaders trying to find that out. And it took them 3 days to find that. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days, after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. So they did make that mistake. The writer of Proverbs says, a lying tongue is only for a moment, Proverbs 12:19. And we probably, many of us, have known that. Know that. All the lies that I've told my mother and father and many times, and it usually got me into trouble. So I know in my childhood the bad decisions that I made, choices I made, and the consequences that I had to suffer. We know that the story of the Gibeonites' deception might work temporarily, but was never a permanent solution, as we see what happens to them. Sooner or later, trickery and deceit will be exposed, and the truth will come out. And we may have felt that ourselves today if we have made bad choices or decisions, and the truth has come out. But when Israel checked out that story, they discovered the truth, verses 17 and 18. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Chephirah and Bethroth and Kirjatharim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, and all the congregation murmured against the princes. So we know that they were bitterly, leaders were bitter against Joshua for that. But as we see that, being gullible as they were, realizing that they had been tricked, they didn't try to defend themselves. But they did acknowledge the wrong. They did acknowledge the covenant was made with the Gibeonites, and couldn't be taken lightly, verses 19 through 21. See that there. And all the princes said unto all the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, now therefore we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swore unto them. And the princes said unto them, let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water unto the congregation as the princes had promised them. And we see that that's what happened. And we know as we make bad decisions that we have to live with the consequences that comes about. You can read that in verses 22 through 27. We see that it only took 3 days for Israel's leaders to discover this deception and a bad mistake they had made. And maybe what the question consequences would be. And they had to live with that mistake for the rest of their lives. The story of Joseph's reaction to that deception shows us how important it is to keep our promises, even when it is a difficult situation that we have. We know that other peoples will be dependent on it. God's people are called upon to live obediently and amid the mistakes of their own making. And as I said, we make mistakes every day, and we do have to live with the consequences. But if we have that connection with the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that we can come through triumphant to be that. And one of the present day applications we have for that is marriage. Sometimes a Christian will marry an unbeliever. What can be done then? The world says, get a divorce. You have a right to be happy. Do what is right for yourself. But we know in most cases we can't do that. The truth is that we cannot do that. The Word of God says that the decisions is one with which a Christian must live. And we do, whether they're good choices, bad decisions, we do have to live with them. It tells us about that in 1 Corinthians 7:12. We know that Joshua and the leaders of Israel erred in making their decision, their judgment, in trusting the Gibeonites and not consulting the Lord about the Gibeonites. But they did not compound that error by breaking the covenant that they had made with the Gibeonites. Some Christians today believe that there are not consequences to their sins. Matter of fact, many people believe that they're not even sinning. They don't believe that they're sinners. Anything they do is okay, no matter what it is. We see many of the people that are in the limelight, the bad decisions that they've made and done, and we praise them for it. People praise them for it. They think that it's been all right for that. But we know that we have to confess and many times pay the consequences from God. We know that repentance does cleanse us, brings us cleansing, but it doesn't erase the consequences of sin. We know that there is a great problem in everyone's life with failure to consult the Lord in all matters. Even the little ones. And I know that I'm guilty of that, of not consulting God even in the little decisions or choices that I've made. Israel was called upon to honor the covenant they had made with the Gibeonites soon after the agreement had been made. As we read in chapter 10, verses 3 through 4, 5 kings of the Amorites, angered and threatened by the Gibeonites' strategy, decided to go against the Gibeonite cities, 3 through 4 there in chapter 10. Wherefore, Adonizekah, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Harmon, king of Hebron, and unto Purim, king of and unto Jephra king of Lachish, and unto their Deborah king of Algon, saying, and you just notice that I can't quite pronounce all them right, come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. And we know that Joshua was obligated to defend them and had to go and take care of that. And we know that the covenant that Israel had made with the Gibeonites was honored for centuries to come. But yet on a later occasion, that covenant was broken by Saul. And we know that God sided with the Gibeonites. He brought judgment upon Israel. 2 Samuel 21:1 tells us that, of that deception and of that consequences that Israel had to pay. And we know that the story of Israel's decision about the deception of the Gibeonites are one of the many examples in the Bible that remind us that we must live with the results of our decisions, our choices, good and bad. Some we may not have consequences. Others may, the consequences may be small. The consequence may be large. But we know that we need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what these consequences are, to stay true to him. Stay true to the word of God. And I pray that each one of us will do that, to make our decisions to God as we humble ourselves before him, to be led by the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide us in every walk of life, every day of our lives, to ask God for the Holy Spirit every morning. Thank him at night for that Holy Spirit and that walk that we've had that day. And so we know that we truly have to make good decisions, good choices. But yet also we know that we do make bad choices and bad decisions. So I just pray that the Holy Spirit will be with each one of them, whichever choice or decisions that we've had and made in our lives, the decision or the choice that we're going to make tomorrow. We pray that the Holy Spirit will be with us. And next time we're going to be looking at making the right choice in our lives. Yes, our Heavenly God, we pray that Christ was within us, and that we will allow him to live his life in us. We are truly your representatives, Father. And we pray that we will be able to do as you have asked us to do, to go out into the world, to live the life truly that is consistent with your commandments, and to draw others unto thee, Father. We know that we can bring the message to them, and then we know that the Holy Spirit will then be able to do his work in them. So, Father God, as we leave this place, we pray that Christ lives within each one of us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.